Well, this Christmas season, we have learned that God chose five particular people to help us bridge the gap between the Old Testament and the promises in the Old Testament and the New Testament, which begins with the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These five people, in the process of being used by God, revealed to us that God was going to continue fulfilling his promised plan for mankind. We learned about John the Baptist and how he would be the forerunner to Christ and how that promise was fulfilled in John the Baptist. We learned about Zechariah, and we learned how God used him to introduce John and use his life to show us that God, regardless of what we may think is possible, can work in our lives in a wonderful way and do things in our lives if we will trust in him. Today we are going to look at Mary. Mary is a wonderful example of someone who was willing to submit her life to the will of God. And so I want us to see how God used Mary in his promise plan. First of all, I want you to understand that God's promise plan involves sending his son to the earth through a miraculous event. God's promise plan involves sending his son to the earth through a miraculous event. Let's look at verse Isaiah 7:14. It's the first verse in our bulletin. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, we see that Isaiah, some 700 years before the birth of Christ, makes this prediction through the prophecy of the Lord, that the Son of God would come through a virgin. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ would be a sign to the world that he is the Son of God. Now look at verse 34 and 35 in Luke chapter 1. It says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" You see, Jesus was both man and God because of this miraculous event. You see, the Holy Spirit was the one who orchestrated this conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. And because of this, Jesus is both God and man. This is why he had a human nature, but not a sinful nature. Jesus had a human nature, but not a sinful nature. He was tempted, as we found out in Hebrews a few weeks ago, as we are tempted, but he did not fall to temptation, and he did not have a sinful nature. So that is why he was sinless. And that is also why his sacrifice on the cross of Jesus Christ was acceptable to God. You see, Jesus Christ was the only one that could pay for our sins. He was the only one that could pay for our sins because he was the only one who was sinless. Why? Because he was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. You see, God, in his awesome providence, designed this miraculous event so that only Jesus could take credit for being the Son of God. Only he could legitimately be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Savior of mankind because he alone was born to a virgin. Jesus is the only one that can cleanse you from your sins and give you eternal life because he is the only one who has fulfilled God's plan spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. That is what we need to remember. We have a wonderful Savior, and we can confirm it in our minds and in our hearts because he, and he alone, is the one who was born of a virgin. So we're so grateful for this wonderful, miraculous event that has taken place so that we can trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let's remember, our trust is in a Savior that came to this earth through a miraculous event. Now, I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter 1 in verses 18 and 19, the next verses in our bulletin. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Now, I want us to understand that God's promised plan involved disrupting the plans of Mary. God's promised plan involved disrupting the plans of Mary. Mary had a plan for her life. That plan involved getting married to Joseph, having a family, taking care of her children, raising her children. But God disrupted that plan, didn't he? God disrupted it, and it caused some problems and trials in the life of Mary. Mary was engaged to Joseph when Gabriel told her of the birth of Jesus. Now, back then, engagement carried the same legal status as marriage. It was taken very seriously. The penalty for adultery, which would be obvious in the eyes of people that didn't know what Mary truly had experienced, was stoning. So there was a potential that Mary would be stoned for this event that occurred in her life. And not only that, Mary would have instinctively known that this was an apparent perception, that this apparent perception would cause her a lot of grief with her friends, her family. This perception of unfaithfulness could also lead to suspicion, lead to rumor, and banishment by her family, friends, and even Joseph. And that's what Joseph was contemplating, putting her away secretly. Thanks to the Lord sending the angel to talk to Joseph, that didn't happen. But in spite of all this, as Mary is confronted with this information about what God's will for her life is, and knowing that this was going to disrupt and completely change her plans for her life, she has a wonderful reaction. Her reaction is found in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. It says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." You see, Mary, in spite of all the difficulties that she thought would come from this trial, says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Mary recognized that she was God's servant at his disposal and was willing to put her plans aside to do God's will. What a wonderful, wonderful example Mary was to us. To be able to say, "I am God's servant. Whatever his plans for my life are. That's what I will do. I will put aside my plans. However inconvenient God's will is for my life, I will do that. That is what I'm going to do. I am going to submit to the will of God. This was not her plan, and it would not be easy, but she responded in a wonderful way. How could she respond like this? She knew something about God. She knew that God was a gracious and merciful God. He is a gracious and merciful God. And because of His grace and mercy, Mary knew that whatever came her way because of these circumstances, God would work them out in her life and give her the strength she needed to face any trial that came her way. And that's exactly what God will do in your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a will for your life. And He wants to show you His grace and mercy, but you need to submit to His will. Submit to His will for your life, like Mary did, and you will experience the grace and mercy of God. He will help you overcome trials in your life. He will help you overcome the sins that so easily beset you in your life. He will help you overcome the guilt in your life. He will give you peace in your heart. He will help you face any circumstance that comes your way, because He is a gracious and merciful God. And that's what Mary knew about God. She knew that God was gracious and merciful, and that He would take care of her if she would just submit to His will. And that is exactly the case for every single one of us. God treats all of His children the same. So God wants us to do like Mary did. And finally, God's promise plan involves a future society where social injustice will no longer exist. Think about that for a minute. God's promise plan involves a future society where social injustice will no longer exist. Notice Mary's praise in verses 48 through 55. Let's read that. We're missing verse 48, I guess we've got a little bit of a typo here. Go to 48 at the bottom. There it is. Okay. All right. It says, "For He has regarded the lowly estate of His maidservant." This is Mary speaking. "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and He and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now, Mary regarded her lowly state in society. She looked at her lowly estate in society and saw that her and others who suffered in the current society would be vanquished in the Lord's future society. You see, she recognized the social injustices that were going on around her. And she said, because of God's plan and the fulfillment of God's plan through Jesus Christ, this baby that would be born, there would come a day when all these social injustices would not exist anymore, because of the promise that was made to Abraham way back then, that promise that was made to Abraham. Are you noticing as we go through this that Abraham is referred to over and over again by these characters, by these people that are bridging this gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament? There is a reason for that. Like I said before, the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham is the central promise that God is using to perform his plan for mankind. And we see that once again here in Mary's praise about God. The proud and greedy would be put down, and all those who are trusting in God's promise to Abraham would live in a society without injustice. You know, as we look at our own society, regardless of our political views, we see many injustices, don't we? We look at our world and we see some of the horrific things that are going on in it, and we understand that this world is full of injustices. People being taken advantage of, people being manipulated and used in terrible ways. Well, God, through Mary, has a message for all those that are being neglected in this world's society. For all those that are burdened down with the weights and injustices of society. That is, there's coming a day when that will no longer be the case. When you can hope in this future plan of God. No longer will the elderly be scammed. No longer will children be trafficked. No longer will harassment be in all forms in our society. The killing of unborn children will no longer exist. And justice for all will be the case when Jesus comes again and sets up his glorious kingdom. That is what Mary is saying in her praise. There is coming a time when we will have a society where injustice no longer exists. Let's trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He is the only one that was born to a virgin, the Virgin Mary. Let's submit to his service like Mary did. Let's rely on his grace and mercy to get us through this life, with the hope of a new life in a new society controlled by Jesus himself, where there will no longer be injustices, where we can know that everything and everyone will be treated in a fair and just way.